Dr. Neil Ressler, who organized to Johns Hopkins, the place I came to when my father had the macular.
Sure.
And how long ago was that?
So that was over 10 years ago.
Oh, 20.
Yeah, well, probably about 20 years ago, but that's because this condition, macular degeneration, really evolves over decades, not just a year or two.
When did you first see my problem?
Probably, again, when you were having your cataracts evaluated, and that could have easily been about 20 years ago.
But it also, the first place you suspected the problem was because of my father.
Correct.
Yeah.
When someone has macular degeneration in the family, it's really common for children to have it. Not always, but there's definitely a genetic component to it.
But you have now looked at all four of my biological children.
Right.
And right. None of them have it.
And this we also see. So maybe they'll never get it. Or maybe over the next decade or two, they'll have that. We usually say if you don't have any sign of it, wait 5 years, look again.
Okay, now, having said that, I think you identified it. I'm 88, and I think you identified it when I was about 30 years ago.
Yeah, so typically you will see the earliest signs of macular degeneration when someone is in their 50s or 60s and it has no symptoms. You can have eagle-eye vision, you can see far, far away, and yet, if you looked in the retina, you might see some debris or drusen that says, this person has some macular degeneration.
You remember for years and years before you that doctors would say, you have these drusens. I don't know what they mean.
Sure. You know, it wasn't until about 20 years ago that we really understood a lot about this condition. This was the most common cause of blindness. 8 million people every year in the U.S. may have this drusen material, and about 200,000 people each year may get a complication from that drusen material that could cause blindness. And this was really common, but it wasn't until about 20 years ago that we began to understand how drusen can lead to scarring in the retina.
Okay, now, it was identified a long, long time ago for me.
Sure.
Said they didn't know what it meant,
right.
But could have some effects later on. Today, what does it? Anybody that has drusens, are they going to have macular?
Yeah, well, we've really come a long way. So, as I said, lots of people have drusen in the U.S. Maybe of the 60 million people over the age of 50 to 60, 8 million of them have this. That's a lot of people. And they may not notice it. They may have perfect vision. But we now know we have to monitor those people, because should they get early signs of scarring developing, we now have medications that can stop it 90% of the time. We didn't have that when your father had it at all. And we didn't even have that when the drusen were first noted in you.
Yes.
Amazingly so.
Well, we'll go back to this subject in a minute, but early on, as a young person, maybe 10 years old, maybe younger or older, when did you think you wanted to be a doctor?
You know, I didn't think about it until I was really in my early 20s when I was in college. I was interested in music, I was interested in science. I wanted to do both of those, but didn't know anything about medicine. Nobody was in medicine in my family. But as I started in science, one of my best friends said, if you love science, you should do medicine. There's so much to do. And that got me to Hopkins. I applied to go to medical school here.
Wait a minute. What was undergrad?
Undergrad was at University of Michigan, where I studied music and science and loved it. But afterwards, as I realized that you could do so much with medicine in science, that's what I wanted to do, and ended up coming here as a medical student starting in 1978.
Easy for me. I was 50 years old.
I got it.
I was born in 28. Now you decided medicine. Why ophthalmology?
You know, that's a really good question. So vision means a lot to people. And I saw this even going through medical school. We actually recently finished a survey. It's a really good survey of people across the United States. This is interesting. I don't think I told you about this. Where across every race and ethnicity, we asked people.
You did tell me.
I did tell you. Yeah, so we asked people, what's the worst thing that could happen to you? You know, is it losing the ability to run upstairs? Is it, you know, losing your hearing? And across all races and ethnicities, number one was losing vision. It was just as important, if not more important, than cancer or AIDS. And this will be published in the peer-reviewed literature in a few months. So that was an example of what we saw as medical students, that people really value their vision.
Well, so, I would answer.
Yeah.
But here I am, 88. I've been lucky.
Yeah.
I've had extremely good health. I haven't had a challenge any place other than my eyes. And you fix it. Was it a challenge? Well, yeah, I mean, I've lost a lot of my vision. But at the same time that you helped me, I don't know what was remission, but I mean, you slowed it down and everything. I can't any longer enjoy shooting birds.
Sure.
And I think, one of the best wing shots in the country. And today, I can still kill birds. And I can even measure it this way. Opening dove season last year was 75 straight years I have opened the dove season.
I love it.
Which is September the 1st, and I started shooting when I was 12 years old. And I can go back to almost every one of those years, not all of them, but I know that I made every season with the opening day with my dad. He'd take me out of school if necessary.
That was wise.
But the last 3 years, I've watched very closely. The limit is 15 birds.
Mm-hmm.
How many shells does it take me to kill 15 birds? Okay, 3 years ago.
How many did it used to take, right?
Well, it used to take, I would get 15 out of 16 or 15 straight or whatever.
Sure.
Then 3-4 years ago, I started, I'm going to see how many it takes. I'm going to keep a record of it, which I've done. And I went from it take to kill 15 birds. It'd take me 3 times as long, and it would take me 50 shots.
Yeah.
And then the next year, it went to 70. Mm-hmm. And then last year, it was 75 to get 15. So now I'm getting one bird every 5 shots. And it continues. Will it continue to go downhill?
Maybe, maybe not. So first of all, experience means a lot. And you can sometimes, you know, predict what's going to happen. The other thing is that it used to be when people got macular degeneration, as you did, and got the wet form, which is this scar tissue growth, as you did.
But lucky me, only in the left.
Right, but it used to be that people lost almost all their central vision from that, completely and rapidly. Now, we were fortunate through your support, through funding we had from the NIH, from industry innovations, we figured out ways of slowing it down or stopping it. So you may lose a little more vision over the decade, or we may find ways of slowing that down as well. But the bottom line is about 75 or 80% of the blindness that happened in the States, in Europe, throughout the rest of the world from macular degeneration, about 75 or 80% of the blindness can now be avoided. The vision impairment to make it tougher to shoot the birds and to see something as somebody walks in the door from far away. Nope, we're not there yet. That still needs work. But we're on our way because some of the blindness has really been eliminated by some of the treatments we have now, which we did not have when I first saw you, and which even to this day, we're trying to refine and improve upon.
Well, you remember I used to ask you, am I going to be able to see to the finish line?
Yep.
And you used to tell me yes. And then a couple of years ago, I had a physical and UT Southwestern Medical School.
Good place.
Looked at all the stuff and they said, we have good news and bad news for you. Mm. I said, well, good news first. They said, you're going to live to be 114 years old.
I like that.
Bad news. You will not be able to hear or see.
Oh, we want to work on that.
So I came to you and I said, now, good news and bad news. Can you take me to the finish line if it's 114? And you haven't. You just keep saying, we're doing good. Things are going along fine. But you haven't committed to 114.
You know me.
So if I'm going to be blind, I might not work on going to 114. I'll try to make it everything coincident.
Yeah, you know, as an example, somebody came to me when I first started in medicine, and their son had a terrible heart condition. And they said, you know, the only way we could fix this is if he got a new heart, but we'd have to transplant hearts. And this is before heart transplants had begun. And so the family was, you know, in despair and saying, what are we going to do? And then what do you think happened? We found ways of transplanting hearts. So it's the same with macular degeneration. There was a lot we couldn't treat at all. Well, maybe. There was a lot we couldn't treat. We can treat some of it now and not everything. But in order to keep working on the loss of tissue that may occur from this condition or others, it may be that there'll be a few other eureka moments between now and when you're 114 that will actually help us figure out how to replace the retina, regenerate the tissue. And so I'm the optimist. We're working darn hard on it, and we're not giving up because, as I said, vision's really important, and we've made some strides, and that keeps us going to keep trying.
Well, you know, you're the optimist, you say.
Oh, sure.
You remember what I am.
You're pragmatic, at the least.
I'm the geologist.
Okay.
The geologist has to be optimistic, and always am. It's the reason for that is geologists drill a lot of dry holes, and so consequently, you're always the next one is going.
That'll
to,
hit.
going to be a real hit for me. It's going to be a big discovery. But seriously, though, I am in a business that you don't want to be pessimistic. It's not, realistic's okay, but don't ever go pessimistic in the business.
Yeah, and I agree. I think in medicine, you have to be realistic. You have to explain to people what you know. You don't want to give false hope. I think that's incorrect. But it doesn't mean you can't give what you know, and really, it isn't false hope to think that we might be able to improve upon our treatments. Why? Just look back 10 and 20 years and see how far we've come. It's a perfect example to say, well, you think it's going to stop? No way. I think we're going to keep going over the next 10 to 20 years.
Well, you've made great progress, no question. Just working on me. Well, you have. I mean, you have. If you went back 20 years, you cannot do then what
Correct.
You're doing today. And I, I'm so sensitive to my eyes, and you know that once you've got the problem and you think that you are running out the time, maybe you're not, but you may be. You're thankful every day for what you can see. I'm thankful every day for you and what you've done for me. And I remember last year I got football game.
Yeah,
for the Michigan-Alabama game, then I was sorry I got them for you.
Well, Alabama showed their superiority there, but that's for fun.
But you're not pessimistic.
Oh, no.
About the Michigan Wolverines.
They'll come back again. They'll come back again.
Well, this has been a interesting venture for me and all in my family. Some of them are more interested in it than others. For different reasons,
sure.
Personality
sure.
reasons. Some don't think it'll ever happen to them, so they don't ever give it much of a thought. But it, but then you get into the diabetic issue, and fortunately, no problem there for me.
Well,
but can that happen very quickly too?
Yeah, it can. And you know, there are two main reasons people might lose vision: macular degeneration, which you've experienced, and the other big one is diabetes. And what was amazing was the very same medications that slowed down macular degeneration had a huge effect in people with diabetes. There are so many people with diabetes now, and the number keeps increasing because of the number of people with obesity in the States and around the world. But we took the results from macular degeneration, we went to the government, to the NIH, and we said, help us form a network of investigators that could fast track testing this same drug in diabetes. And they supported it. And we made such strides in that field, it almost bypassed the successes we had in macular degeneration. So we've actually recently...
You just put everybody on a diet.
Well, a diet helps, but it doesn't stop everything.
Okay.
And so so we also probably eliminated about 75-80% of vision impairment, not just blindness, but vision impairment in diabetes. So we've gone back to the government now.
There you're not destroying central vision.
Well, it does. It does.
Okay.
Yeah. And so we went back to them and said, this works so well in diabetes. Help us use this same process in macular degeneration. Why? Because there are people who are not going blind from macular degeneration, but not seeing as well as they want to. So I'm hopeful over the next few years that we'll get support, probably from the NIH, also from other areas, to be able to attack this dry form or this degeneration of the retina tissue that is causing so many people over the age of 70s or in their 80s to lose their central vision. Even though we can stop scar tissue, there are other problems from macular degeneration, and we need to begin to attack those, and we will. And as I said, you've got the optimist in me, but the hard-working person that wants to make sure that we work on this problem so that you will make it to 114 and the vision won't be the rate limiting step.
Okay, now, we started giving shots,
mm-hmm.
I think it was like 64 months ago.
Yeah, sure, yep.
And we have, you have given a shot to dry up my left eye probably 55 times.
I bet. And you probably know each one and want to kick me in the shins for each one.
No,
but,
it's not right.
No. But that was because you had developed a complication of macular degeneration where growth factors can cause scarring, and we can inject anti-growth factors into the eye and stop them. And in your case, it did stop that process. It doesn't stop all the degeneration, and that's why you can't get those 15 birds with 15 shells, but it does stop a huge problem that used to keep people from even being able to walk around or do what they want to do to take care of themselves. So that's why we gave you those anti-growth factor shots to stop it. You can't take a pill. It's not a drop. You have to inject it in the office. And you have to often do it 8-10 times a year, sometimes for 6-7 years. That's a lot of shots, like you just said. But if it stops it, that makes all the difference in the world.
Okay. Now, we have examination coming up in an hour.
Yep.
And you will decide there whether we need to give a shot or not. I want to tell you this, but I'm not going to reveal to you
okay.
how I know. I will know whether you're going to give me a shot or not.
All right, don't tell me, because I'm going to do an objective exam. I'm going to look carefully for any signs of these growth factors. They might cause fluid in the retina. They might cause blood. Then I'll tell you, and you can tell me what you were thinking I was going to do. How's that?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. But I'm looking forward to it, and we'll take good care of it.
Neil, thank you. And thanks,
Boone, it's been a pleasure.
Thanks for taking care of me, too.
Thanks for your support.
And I'm glad to know I'm cleared 114.
We're going to do our best. You know that.
I do. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thanks.